All right, so we're going to talk about, I'm still sick, so bear with me. And we're going to talk about the second part of Knocking Down Duplicity. And yesterday, we talked about agenda and how we can put our agenda above God's agenda. But today we're going to talk about how groupthink and affects all of our lives, and we can be totally unaware that it's affecting our lives and keeping us distant from what God has for us and keeping us duplicitous. So let's just look at a real quick chapter here, John 4, where Jesus is talking to, we all know the story, Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman, but see how she responds when he tries to get down to brass tacks. Yeah, you have no husband, he says in verse 17. The fact is, you have five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. I don't think he said it like that, but I exaggerate it for this point, is that he gets right down to who she is, and this is how she responds. He's endeavoring to use vulnerability to show her need for him. And she's not wanting it. So in verse 19, she says, "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors are," that's the word that I want you to hone in on, "our ancestors worshiped on this mountain, but you Jews came from the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. So she turns to groupthink, and she turns to my church. I mean, you could translate it that way. We do this. And there's both. There is a, and I just want to say, there's nothing like shutting down intimacy, like, hey, you want to come over? And the person says, can I bring three friends? You are communicating when you try to throw up these affiliations that you belong to, or this group that you belong to, or, you know, political party, and you are no longer discerning, you're just going along with it. What they do is what you do, and you get a sense of security from it. You're not standing in Christ. And there is a real distinction between belonging to the body of Christ as functioning believers in his church and aligning yourself to groupthink mentality that has nothing to do with your personal discovery, daily discovery of who Christ is and what he wants to do with your life. Nowhere in Scripture does it give a group clout for salvation. So what I mean by that is, you don't see this group got saved. You see people coming to Christ believing. And I just want to highlight this for a couple ideas over here as well in Acts 9. There are many times we do this, and we don't even realize we do it. We do it when we're confronted on something that we haven't thought through. You see it all over media, news media. People just no longer want to think anymore. And I'm not saying that thinking is the end all be all, but if thinking stops you from thinking about Christ and thinking about his character, and engaging in this relationship, like, it's was going to stop this Samaritan woman. She tried her best to stop this, but the Spirit of God is just awesome, and he can divide that and flush that out. But the Pharisees, they were a group think category where only a few times there was somebody within that group questioning what the other members of the group were doing. But all in all, this group stood against, as a whole, against Christ. And he constantly, I mean, that was, this groupthink mentality was an affront to Christ and his work. When Saul, who was a Pharisee of Pharisees, doing what he thought should be done, because there were some dogmas, there were some dictates, there were some theological lines, anyone who was going to be religious at that time were going to follow. And Paul was on top. Saul was on top. So in direct contrast to that, Saul is with a group of people approaching Damascus on a mission. And this is, I told you, Acts 9. A light from heaven suddenly shone around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. And the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. I take that to mean they did not see the light. The Holy Spirit went after Saul. The Holy Spirit goes after individuals. And you might be duplicitous if your association is what's making you feel safe. This is a really scary mentality. I mean, I've heard every heretical statement from groupthink mentality. Like, our church is the only one where people are saved. False. Falsity false. It's his church, not your dogma. His church. And look at this. same chapter, verse 31. The church then had peace. Goes through Saul's story. But in verse 31, it says, the church then had peace throughout Judea, Galilee, Samaria. So that doesn't sound like my church. The church in all of these places. The discerning individual realizes that their church is not perfect, but they realize that their place is to contribute within that church. And let God be God. I am all part of this DA meeting, Duplicity Anonymous meeting, because when I came here, I thought, because I didn't have my associations anymore, my religious associations anymore, that God simply wasn't here. I really had that mentality. If your group were to disappear tomorrow, do you still have Jesus? Do you still have Jesus? Is this relationship still intact? Because that needs to get knocked down if you want duplicity to go. What effect does groupthink have on duplicity? Here's the thing. Discernment does not belong to a body. I mean, to a body. Discernment belongs to the individual. And the Holy Spirit's work in that individual. And so when you try to align yourself to group, quote unquote, discernment, and thereby turn off all the Holy Spirit's promptings, because you have shifted from having a relationship with Christ, fueled by the Holy Spirit, onward for Jesus. Go ye therefore, all that purpose that he has for your life, and you will turn to a group think and a group-based discernment, where they, you know, and most likely it'll just digress into a bunch of rules you got to keep. And, you know, I remember having one conversation with, this is scary stuff, actually. To be so anemic, so milk-fueled that you cannot, and I was here, you cannot go on for Christ if your pastor isn't there. Like, I can't be a missionary. My pastor won't be over there, or whatever it is. I can't move out of this town. My pastor wouldn't come, or this church wouldn't be there. I understand an emotional attachment to a church. I understand that. But an anemic faith that can only be sustained by a specific group think or group dynamic, the only thing you've known, you know, virtually the same as I always have to sit in the same chair when I go to church. What does, what difference does it make if you are in fellowship with this group of believers or that group of believers? Are they not believers? Are we all part of one body as Christ the head? That's the effect that it has. You no longer sustain your relationship with Christ. You must be fed milk all of the time. And you are deflated, i.e. set off in a tailspin, if you can't have that group, specific group, around you, be it a college or whatever, a certain, you know, association, because the church is all over the world. The church is universal. And we're not meant to live with that, imbibing that kind of weakness that doesn't have a perception of what God is doing all over the earth for his kingdom. And so when this group has decided for you what is right and wrong, it breeds duplicity, because you can't keep up with man-made rules. Over and over, we've learned this. In the description the Bible gives of the law, there's only 10 things. I mean, the law in the Old Testament, but also the 10 commandments. You can't keep up. And what is our inclination to have a list of rules that we follow? That's on the Pharisaical side. Like, one is community side. This group, this is what I'm aligning to. And the other side is like these laws. This is what I'm clinging to. It breeds duplicitous behavior because you cannot keep up. One time I was confronted by holes in my jeans. And it was, I won't say anymore, but it was in a religious context. And it was on the, you know, on the property of this certain, you know, line of thinking. That didn't make any sense, but just imagine with me a group that likes to do things a certain way. And, you know, there's a list of rules that you align to if you want to walk through the door. It was that sort of mentality. And so she tried to tell me that I was a bad example to girls with the holes in my jeans. And I said, look, I am a parent, first of all. And secondly, this would never end if I'm making you an idol. If I put you in the place of the Holy Spirit and I'm unable to discern in myself what it is I wear and do not wear with the help of the Holy Spirit and God's word. I'm not saying we don't need input. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying both. So what I told her was, if I were to set myself on this track, and I don't know if she was tagging me or following what I was saying at all. I did write a letter, but I said, if I were to go down this path you want me to go down and worry about whether or not you thought my jeans were admissible, tomorrow it would be something else. Because that's the way this thing goes. Today it's my jeans. Tomorrow it's my hair. The next day it's my nail polish. The day after that's my lipstick. The day after that's whether or not I saw that movie or listened to that song. Or, you know, anything along those lines. I ate this, didn't eat that. And pretty soon, you've replaced Jesus. I become duplicitous because I cannot keep up with your rules. And Jesus is no longer king. And that's all I mean when it comes to this groupthink, group aligning process. Is that, yes, we need input from other believers. Yes, we need to serve other believers. Yes, we need to hear preaching. Yes. But if it is in lieu of your own walk, and your own discernment by the Holy Spirit, you might be aligning yourself to a groupthink mentality, which would breed duplicity. Peace out. Till tomorrow. And what I hear from you, I lay aside these shallow waters of duplicity, and I'll find myself resting on your shoulders.